Streaming live 24/7. RadioInfluence.com.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, we recap a big Valor Fights 46 card, and we preview VFW Fights number 2, and we have a great lineup of guests. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, Music City was amazing, but the stretch isn't over. Closing out a huge fall run with a big weekend, VFW Fight Night 2.
Yeah, man. Excited to kind of be in the closing stretch of this long fall slate we've had. Second to last event of the year, and excited for it. You know, this VFW card coming up has got some pretty nice matchups there, and so it should be a fun way to kind of close out this run coming off a big show in Nashville.
And we are joined by Vince Farrar, play-by-play commentator alongside myself, and we're going to run down this big night of fights. Vince, how you doing tonight?
I'm great, guys. Good to be with you. Appreciate you having me.
Now, of course, in addition to Valor Fights, you're involved in every sport under the sun, the Vols Radio and so forth. Talk about a little bit real quick. Go ahead and plug a few of the things you've got going on right now.
Well, I'm on Twitter at Vince Sports and just do a lot. I do some sports talk for Sports Radio WNML 99.1 and AM 990 here in Knoxville. We stream on our website, sportsradiownml.com. I have a blog on there, which is sponsored by a high-quality CPA in town, Jim Stiles. And you know, do a lot of interviews with Tennessee, just covering Tennessee on a daily basis. And those that know Tennessee football know what, you know, what a circus that can be pretty much every week and every day of the year. So a lot of UT, I work for the Vol Network, with football, basketball, and baseball, with roles on the network. Also do high school football play-by-play. We're into the playoffs now in the state of Tennessee, as a lot of people know. And a little bit of SEC Network, trying to build that. Man, just a lot of freelance stuff and involved in a lot of different sports, as you said, so it's fun.
Awesome. Vince Farrar, a voice that just don't quit. Let's go on in and get into this card. Valor Fights 46. Bout number one was amateur Muay Thai, and it featured Keegan Agnew with a victory, gaining the victory here in by injury stoppage between rounds one and round number two. It was a hand injury. Tim, talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird situation. Minta steps in on just a few days' notice there to replace Joseph Long, who was originally in that slot, and had a decent accounting of himself. After watching it, I actually had him winning the first round. He was probably the momentum was starting to go the other way towards Agnew, but you know, for the record, I had him winning the first round, and then he had a hand injury, couldn't come out for the second. So injury stoppage, I guess it's called a TKO for Agnew.
And you said Minta, there's a claim filed right there. Like it's like broken.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I don't think it ever got that far. They never really said anything. They never really said much about it after that. They were at the after party.
Oh, okay. I got you. Vince, what was your take on this fight?
Yeah, I thought it was fairly close in the first round, and you just never know how it would have proceeded. As Tim said, I think it was starting to go, you know, a little bit the other way, but you know, that was only just one round in. So I would have liked to have seen it continued, but you could tell, I think there in between the rounds that he, or at least even late in that first round, wasn't really comfortable, but maybe I just wonder how far into that first round that he did hurt his hand and how much he tried to compensate for it. So, you know, just hate to to see an injury stop a fight.
Sure, undoubtedly. And I look forward to seeing both of these guys in action. The demonic hitter is definitely a crew of characters. Bout number two, also amateur Muay Thai, and it featured Michael Cribb with a big unanimous decision victory over Darling Catalan. And this was an absolute battle, man. I won't say close. I think Cribb was pretty dominant throughout the match, but Catalan very game as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little surprise, for two debut guys. Both guys look very poised and skilled. And I thought it was pretty close. I thought Cribb definitely got the first. I thought the second got there was an argument for Cribb to have had all three rounds, honestly. But Catalan, had an argument in the second and actually started putting some things together in the second round. Good showing by both guys, and they'll both be, have good futures. And again, that was their debut, and they were both very skilled.
Vince, what was your take?
Yeah, I thought that it was entertaining. I thought, the crowd, even though the crowd filled in a little bit more later, I thought the crowd that was there was into it. Two of the judges had it 29-28, and one did go with 30-27. Just a fun fight to watch. I don't think there was anything over the top that jumped out at you. I think it was just a really good early event of fight.
All right. Well, moving on, bout number three, it was the first mixed martial arts bout of the evening. And it was in the featherweight division and featured Nolan Thomas getting the rear naked choke victory over Zane Evans. And it was it unfolded in kind of a strange manner. These guys were kind of, you saw the takedown, you saw that Zane was kind of scrambling there, and then out of nowhere, Nolan Thomas is on his back with that choke. Tim, what was your take?
Zane Evans, I feel like, has got a lot of potential with his frame and kind of just natural, grittiness to him. If he could get in a good training situation, he could be pretty good. It's another case of just, had a lot of good moments, but just couldn't pull it off. I think that, he came in and was looking to strike. Thomas got it to the ground, and then it was Evans that was going after everything. He was going for the triangle. He was going for the armbar. A lot of scrambles. He had hooked the leg. He was doing some things right, but right as they come out of the scramble, it was just like he was kind of lazy getting up more than anything. And, he just kind of lazily got up, and Thomas just kind of ran around to his back and jumped on and choked his ass, So props to him for taking advantage of the situation, but that's pretty much what happened. Zane was just lazy and getting up after watching the replay.
Vince, what was your impression of Nolan Thomas's performance?
Yeah, I opportunistic. I think maybe is the best way to describe it. Evans probably was more aggressive in trying some of those finishes, but that's part of fighting, is seeing the opportunity that's there and then seizing it. And he did. So you got to give him credit for that. Even if he was, in some trouble, I guess, at times before that. But, the good gym there, and he took advantage of the opportunity. So I think that that speaks well for his future.
Undoubtedly. Bout number four. Of course, it was a catch weight at 195 pounds, amateur mixed martial arts. And we see Aaron Terrell with a big finish over last minute replacement in Billy Combs. TKO finish there in round one. Tim, this was a last minute matchup.
Yeah, props to our guy, Billy Combs. He stepped up on short notice lots of times for us and does so once again here in this situation after Terrell's guy pulled at the last minute. We really wanted to try to keep Aaron in there, and Billy gave up some size. But Billy had quite a bit more experience in the striking exchanges. Billy was doing okay. Aaron got the takedown, and, Billy fought admirably, actually. After watching it back, Billy did everything that he was kind of supposed to do to try to get up and survive. And just, he looked like a veteran out there as long as he could last until the size just overpowered him. And props to Aaron for getting the finish there, and props to Billy for stepping up and filling in.
Let me ask you, Vince, what, give your take real quick on this one.
Well, under the circumstances, I do think Billy did pretty decent. As Tim mentioned, He was outsized by 13 pounds, 194 to 181. And I actually thought Billy looked in a little bit better shape than maybe some other times that he's filled in late. He does deserve a lot of credit for being tough enough and willing enough to do that. You know, I'd be curious to see Billy if he would have full training camps, and if it was something he did, you know, on a regular basis, more so than some of the last minute stuff. Could he advance his skill set, and what could he do with his career? Still a young guy with a lot of fights, but oftentimes he's not in winning situations. So, you know, as far as Terrell goes, you know, you got to take care of business. And it was, you know, a taking care of business, you know, type of a fight for him. I thought he looked pretty good. And you know, obviously, you know, overwhelmed Billy eventually there in the first round.
Yeah, dude. And to me, he looks like a miniature Bobby Lashley. I mean, he's monstrous. Big old tough dude. All right, moving on. This next one was very, very explosive. A lightweight matchup, mixed martial arts action, featuring Derek Levasseur with a round one knockout over Lawson Quick. And it was explosive, Tim.
Yeah, it didn't last long. I want to say it was like 8 seconds. But, you know, both guys came out in the middle and traded and put it on the line. And that's what happened. You know, Lawson Quick's a tough guy, you know, big. He's a big guy. And Levasseur, that was Alan's favorite name of the week. You know, he came out there and put it on his chin and got got to be a candidate for knockout of the year, wouldn't you say? Amateur knockout of the year?
I was going to ask you this. Would you pick that knockout, or would you pick Joe Bradley's knockout back at Valor 45 a few weeks
ago? Oh, gosh. We had two back-to-back that were awesome like that.
And they were sick, both of them.
They were both really good. Man, this one was just so quick, and, like, he went out so flat. I mean, they're both really good. They're both going to be candidates for sure.
Vince, talk about this knockout.
Yeah, it was one of those, in case we talked about it during, you know, right after it happened, that, you know, sometimes those short shots in the right place can be the most devastating. And you just, you know, you hope for the best with Quick, because not only was he hit with that hard punch, clean punch, but he hit the deck hard. And so that adds to the difficulty. Thankfully, he ended up after a while being okay. I believe if it was that knockout, I believe once he came to, he started trying to grapple with, you know, the medical personnel and the ref, which does happen when guys come to. So thankfully Quick seemed to be okay. But man, when you put that power out there on tape for other people, that can start being a mental advantage in the future for Levasseur. So, hey, you know, those guys say they don't get paid by the hour. So why not do it quick and maybe use it to your advantage in the future?
Absolutely. Quick in and quick out. Our next bout, it was heavyweight action. This is one I'd been looking forward to. Guys, you know that I love the heavyweights. And it featured Dale Merritt, the legend, a guy that's been around for a long time. He gets the arm triangle submission over newcomer Ricky Bennett. And I guess Ricky Bennett steps up short notice too, right, Tim?
Yeah, he sure did. You know, originally supposed to be Dustin Johnson, and then Ricky Bennett actually fills in for his teammate, who is another short notice guy. And you know, Ricky Bennett, though, said to be the top prospect out of that demonic hitters group there, and definitely would look pretty good standing. You know, he was touching Dell up in the striking exchanges, but once it went to the ground, Dell just too seasoned and you know, locked up that submission with not a lot of time left. You know, he was getting towards the end of that first round, and Bennett, like I said, accounted pretty good for himself in the striking department.
Yeah, I'd like to see Ricky Bennett a little bit undersized in this matchup too. Yeah, so I'd like to see him back fighting a guy more his size and see a little more out of him. Vince, what was your take on the fight?
Yeah, a demon, Ricky Bennett. He certainly had the look going as that chief guy from that demonic hitters camp, but you know, he looked apart from an intimidating standpoint. But you know, he did well early on. But I think it was Merritt striking that eventually set up that finish, because you started to see Bennett back up and cover up a little bit, and then that opened the door for Merritt. So you know, Merritt came on strong, and you like to see a guy be able to finish and jump on that opportunity. So I was impressed with Merritt, and you know, we'll see if Bennett can get better and get back in with Valor at some point.
Undoubtedly. All right. Moving on. Our next bout, it was in the lightweight division featuring Jordan Willis with a big TKO victory, second round over Jermonte Brown, the grandmaster, if you will. Another one of those demonic hitters, a character yet again. Tim, talk about the matchup, man.
Yeah, you know, this one, we just didn't know what was going to happen at the weigh-in. You know, these guys are in each other's face, and, you know, Jermonte's, you know, he's got the big hair going, and he's definitely, you know, these guys are, you know, these guys come serious, you know, fight, you know, from Atlanta. And so Jordan Willis, a young gun out of SSF in Clarksville, one of their highly touted prospects coming up, and also very confident himself. And, you know, these guys threw down and didn't go to the ground much at all, if any. You know, I think they struck it out the whole time. And, you know, it was entertaining, but at the towards the end, Brown started to retreat, and Willis kept pouring on the heat. Finally got that stoppage. The second round, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely was. Vince, your take on it?
Yeah, very similar to, you know, the previous fight with that demonic hitters camp. You know, Brown was, you know, was in there and ready to exchange, but eventually, I think the leather started to feel pretty heavy coming from Willis, and then, you know, backing up, covering up, and Willis pounced. So I think it was a good test for Willis. I don't know if Brown is an 0-4 type of fighter. That's what his record says. Maybe he's had good competition overall, but you know, it's a nice win for Willis. I think it showed how vicious he is in the stand up game.
Undoubtedly. Well, for bout number 9, we switch gears a little bit. This time it is advanced rules Muay Thai. And we saw Timmy Eisenbraun with the big win over Dylan O'Sullivan by unanimous decision. Undoubtedly one of the most entertaining fights of the evening. It really delivered, Tim.
Yeah, I was excited for this one. I knew that it would be good. And, you know, these guys have a bit of a history going back. Not really these guys in particular, but the Upper Cumberland group, you know, versus the O'Sullivans, if you will. And so there was a little bit of backstory here. It was a really good fight. You know, first round, I thought Dylan O'Sullivan got. He seemed to just kind of be a little quicker on the draw and, you know, just had a little more pop. In the second, third rounds, it started to turn around. Eisenbraun started being the busier guy. O'Sullivan started to slow down. And, I had it 2-1 Eisenbraun, but it was very, very close. You know, coin toss fight. Both guys had good showings.
Vince, what was your take on it? Did you, how do you break down this fight round to round?
Yeah, I thought that I had it 29-28 with, you know, Eisenbraun with those last two rounds. I didn't see it as a 30-27 like one of the judges did. Two of them had it at 29-28 like I think a lot of us saw it. I didn't see it as a 30-27 fight. But I mean, you can see the skill set of both. The first loss for the Soul Snatcher and for Eisenbraun, I think an impressive win, and man, you put that, you beat an undefeated fighter that had 4 KOs, you know, on your record in Muay Thai and pick up the title as a 2-2 fighter and build off of that. And that's impressive. I think both of these guys showed well.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Great fight. And very unique styles, too. They were very contrasting in the way they did things, which made it exciting as well. Our next bout, it was contested in the flyweight division, women's flyweight division. And it was one of the most highly anticipated of the night. And it delivered. I mean, it was in some ways an unorthodox finish, you know, a little bit of a surprise. But overall, a lot of fireworks. We saw Pauline Pita Macias with the round 2 TKO finish over Jennifer Clausius. And when I say finish, I mean that Jennifer Clausius threw up, got sick, if you will, in the cage, and it really made for an interesting turnout. Tim, talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good while it lasted. I got to say, the first round was exciting, and I thought that Macho Miss Jenny Savage came out and Had probably the best round that I've ever seen out of her. I thought she looked great. You know, I thought that her striking was on point. It was sharp. It was crisp. Takedown defense was there. Avoided the clinch in the tie up whenever they did exchange it at that point. And you know, I thought that she won the first round. And second round, Pita was starting to land more herself. Was starting to kind of get a little more comfortable. It was very close in that second round when Jitty ended up throwing up and they stopped it. So it was kind of an abrupt finish. Anticlimactic, if you will, in a fight that was probably going to come down to the wire, honestly.
Yeah, and I will say that, you know, sometimes, you know, you'll see, you know, fighters throw. I've been involved with numerous fighters that have had that problem. And that's just sometimes that's part of your fight or flight. And it's unfortunately, when that happens, you have to call the match. This and sometimes, you know, you see the fighters almost looking for a way out. This wasn't the case. Actually, Jenny Savage, you know, threw up a little bit in the first round and was able to kind of hide it, you know, at least a part of it, and cover up, you know, to what degree it was. The referee lets it go on, and then finally the in the second round, you know, she did it again, and he had to call it. So, you know, she was doing everything she could to stay alive in that fight. So props to her on that, and props to both of them on a good fight. Vince, what was your take?
Yeah, and you know, Casey, this is the fight I was most looking forward to on the card. Two high level fighters and Macho Myth on the rise, and Tim was right. It's the best we've seen from Jenny, and I think she definitely won the first round. I think Pita was coming on in the second round, and then, you know, who knows moving forward how that round finishes and how the fight finishes, or if their end it would have ended up being a finish. You know, Pita didn't. I didn't think she tried to close the distance or tried to. She wasn't able to get in to be able to utilize her judo and her size. She stayed on the outside and kind of was, you know, backing up straight and leaned back a little bit. And Jenny took advantage of it. But she did feel more comfortable, it looked like, in the second round. And just hate to see a fight end early because of something as unorthodox as that. And, you know, I think fans are probably wondering what was going on the first time when she did it. And I guess it was just on her and not on the mat, and they were able to wipe that off and keep going. But then when it happened again, and obviously had to call it. So just unfortunate, but man, would love to see both of them again.
Yeah, and something to note is that, you know, in the post-fight interview, Pita spoke and said that, you know, it was the referee that called the match. She would have continued on, you know. So props to, again, props to both of them. Both are warriors, and I look forward to, you know, seeing both of them in action again. Moving on, this was my, you know, pick for fight of the night, the one I was really looking forward to. It was the heavyweights, and it was for the heavyweight title, of course, Valor Fights champion Billy Swanson getting the split decision victory over current V3 Fights heavyweight champion Dakota McPherson. And Tim, I know you were happy with the outcome, even though that, you know, it was a great fight. You were looking to be impartial, but, you know, Billy Swanson retains the belt.
Yeah, it was a great fight, man. Both guys had good showings. McPherson is super tough, hits hard, and, you know, really was doing well in the striking exchanges there. Swanson able to get dominant position, though, in all the rounds at some point. I think he had mount or took his back in all the rounds. So very close. You know, I watching it back tonight, I had Billy win in the first. But an argument, honestly, still for the second after watching it again. You know, he had the mount for a good minute. And then probably wasn't as far behind on the striking exchanges as I thought watching it live. Third round, McPherson started to come on. Billy took his back at one point, but McPherson landed probably 2-1 in that round. So he was starting to kind of come on a little bit, but then towards the end, you know, Billy got the takedown in a timely fashion. And so, you know, I think some people were a little whatever about the decision, but it was very close, split decision. And, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised to see it go either way, but after watching it back, I think Billy did enough to win.
Well, I'm just really impressed by both of them because I'd never seen, you know, I'd watched some film on Dakota McPherson, but not a whole lot. I know, of course, we know Billy very, very well. But Dakota, you know, you wonder when anyone fights Billy, if they're going to be able to first stop the takedown, and if they can't, will they be able to get back up and get out? McPherson was able to do this multiple times. He was able to make it a fight. And then ultimately, you know, he was out there gunning for the victory, you know, and he went in here, one of the most respectful guys that I've met, you know, coming into the fights. And so, you know, I've got tons of respect for him, both as a person, but then after the fight, really as a competitor, I was really impressed with him. But ultimately, Billy Swanson did what Billy Swanson does. And that is, you know, be heavy, keep that pressure on, and do work. And so, you know, props to him on taking that title, but props to him, to Dakota McPherson on bringing a fight as well. Vince, what was your take?
Well, honestly, I have a lot more familiarity with Billy Swanson, having seen him and called a bunch of his fights, more so than McPherson. I was impressed with McPherson. I thought he won the stand-up game. I was surprised that Billy was taking the shots he was. You know, at times it just looked like Billy was just moving forward, but he wasn't able to deliver the offense. He was moving forward and showing that he could hang in there, but I think he was as effective striking offensively as I would have expected. I have a high expectation for Billy Swanson, so I've never seen him in that kind of trouble before. So I was surprised that he was in that position and threatened like he was. I'd never even seen him cut before. So you wondered from a mental standpoint how he would react to that. And he overcame that. Obviously, he was dominant on the mat. And you know, Casey, you and I talked about it during the fight. At one point, Billy is just on top of McPherson. He is just banging on him, beating on him. And for some reason, goes for, I guess, an arm bar, was it at the time?
Yeah, it looked like an arm bar.
Yeah, and then and it gave McPherson an opportunity to get up. And then McPherson started wailing on him again. And I think if Swanson just rides that out, there's not, you know, he pounds on him, who knows, maybe finishes him. And there's definitely no discussion about the round. And then it's not even really that big of a you know, close decision or controversial decision. So I thought it was extremely close, argument for both ways. I think, you know, I think there's areas that Billy can get better, and I expect him to. He's, you know, he's into it, and you know, I think the champ is showed a lot of grit to hang in there and take the punishment he did. I was just stunned that he took that punishment.
Yeah, and I will say that ultimately, you know, you see how fighters kind of change throughout a fight. In other words, had Billy come out there and really mixed it up, who knows how his striking would have been right out of the gate. But ultimately, you know, we saw Billy having to get several takedowns and work hard to hold his opponent down, Dakota McPherson. And, you know, that changes you. Every time you go down and stand back up, you know, you lose a little bit of your striking prowess. You know, you're not mm-hmm. quite as sharp. And I think that, you know, Billy was at a point where he was like, you know, I've got a solid chin and I'm going to keep moving forward. That's what he did. And ultimately he was able to score the victory.
And guys, I'll say one other thing. I'm pretty sure I wrote this down on my notes. I'm pretty sure that somebody had the fight 30-27. That I don't agree with at all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Utterly, utterly razor close. And like I said, to me was fight of the night, and a lot of great fights. But to me, that was fight of the night. Moving on to the pro side of our event, it was Jason Arnold. This was in the heavyweight division as well. Jason Arnold with the TKO victory over Terrence Hodges. And Tim, I believe it was actually cruiserweight. It's listed on Tapology as heavyweight, but I believe that it was actually cruiserweight.
It was 265. Yeah. I just don't know if you can enter it on as that yet.
Gotcha. But great matchup, huh?
Yeah, man. You know, they were both trading out there. Both guys had their moments. And, you know, Hefe has got to be the most dangerous 0-4 in the world. You know, the guy's tough. He's big. He's skilled. He just hasn't been able to find a way to get that W, you know. And Arnold, it was swinging for the fences. You know, he's a guy that everything that he threw had the kitchen sink behind it. Not a whole lot of, you know, finesse to it, but a lot of power. And, you know, I had about the world's worst angle to see how that ended at the time between a, you know, a cage post, a referee, and Arnold, all three in front of me. So at the time I was like, oh, what happened? You know, they just step in and stop it. But after watching on the over the cage camera, he, you know, you could see that that Hodges was out on his feet.
Yeah, Arnold's vicious, man. Like, that guy is a tough monster. He yes. comes to do damage. And, you know, he's on the level to me of like your Frank Tate's. You know what I'm saying? The guy that can really hurt you bad with one shot. And he never quits. I mean, he took a lot of punishment and just walked right through it. So I'm very, you know, again, I'm always delighted by the heavyweights. I'm even more delighted when I see a big knockout. Props to Terrence Hodges for always stepping up and fighting tough. But, man, Jason Arnold's, he's on a rise, man. 2-0. So, that's pretty amazing. Vince, what was your take?
Yeah, just the viciousness of these two guys, especially Arnold. I mean, with such bad intentions with each strike. And yeah, you know, at first you wondered if maybe they jumped in and stopped it too early. But, you know, when you see the replay, Hodges did look out, you know, on his feet. So you got to protect the fighters. And you know, I agree. An 0-4 Hodges looks better than an 0-4 fighter to me. And I'm sure that W will come soon at some point. He's put together as well. But yeah, excellent win. And anytime you put those knockouts, like I mentioned before, on tape, it gives guys a lot to think about. And I don't know, it may not make it very easy to get booked in another fight if people see you knocking guys out when you know with their opponent standing up.
Especially a heavyweight. It's hard to find matchups for heavyweights to begin with. All right, moving on. This one was fireworks as well. Catch weight at 150 pounds, professional mixed martial arts. We see Alex Riggs with the KO, round one KO over David Lewis. And in my estimation, the Levasseur knockout was short and sweet, but this one was like, you know, it was a bang fest, man. David Lewis wasn't willing to go down, and Alex Riggs put him down. Tim, talk about it.
This was a really weird fight to know what was going to happen because, you know, Lewis has been on a roller coaster. He was supposed to fight a couple weeks ago in Chattanooga at 135, made the weight, ended up being hospitalized with dehydration issues, comes back and takes this one 2 weeks later at 150. Not much less than what he walks around at to take on Alex Riggs, who was originally supposed to fight Dwayne Herrell, who couldn't get his shit together in order to get his license in time. So Lewis steps back up. A pretty big height disparity there for Riggs. But Lewis, you know, a pretty highly decorated grappler and, you know, has held multiple titles for us. And so I still thought it was going to be a really, you know, interesting close matchup. And it was, you know, Lewis got the takedown early. Couldn't maintain it, and then he kind of started playing into Riggs's game, you know, letting Riggs pepper him from distance and using that reach, and he ate a big volley there towards the end. It was like, you know, 15 unanswered punches and with one behind the ear that finally, you know, put him down for good. But good warrior spirit from Lewis, always entertaining, and congrats to Riggs on that pro debut win.
Yeah, that knockout reminded me a lot of the Jake LaMotta Sugar Ray Robinson knockout where you saw LaMotta hanging off the ropes at the end where Sugar Ray just unleashed a barrage of strikes and it looked like machine gun fire going off on his face, you know. So, you know, again, props to David Lewis for withstanding it and continuing to fight. But, man, you know, big congrats to Alex Riggs on it. Vince, what was your take?
Yeah, really impressed with Riggs and man, that reach and length, and then the skill too to be able to put those combinations together and pounce on the opening. It was more of a mismatch than I thought it would. It also made Warriors Den 3-0 on the night from that, you know, that camp in Dixon, Tennessee. So really nice debut for Riggs, and you're probably going to be awkward for some future opponents too. So interesting to see where his career goes. And I think it's pretty bright from what we saw.
Yeah, undoubtedly. All right. Our next bout, we saw another round one finish. Dustin Collins taking on Rico Ralston. He finishes by rear naked choke. advancing his record to 1-1. Tim, talk about it.
This was an exciting one. You know, it lasted almost to the end of the first round, and it was back and forth. Just lots of scrambles. Both guys had dominant positions and submission attempts, and, you know, overall a good showing for both guys. But in the end, Collins is able to snatch up that submission with, not long. It was maybe, 10 seconds to go. It wasn't long to go in the round.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a battle. You know, Dustin Collins, a guy that's been in Bellator MMA, a prospect out of Viper Pit, long and lanky. But Rico Ralston, man, like, his record really doesn't give justice to what he brings to the table, because he's very, very dangerous, particularly early on. What an athlete. He gets on top. He puts pressure. And, you know, against Collins, who is known to be a pretty solid submission grappler, you know, great submissions. And, you know, Collins really had to weather the storm and then get in there and do what he does, you know. So huge props to Dustin Collins for getting that win, but you got to give some credit to Rico Ralston for bringing a good fight. Vince, what did you think about this matchup?
Yeah, you're on the money with everything you said there, Casey. That was maybe my biggest takeaway, is Ralston doesn't look like now a 3-8 fighter, anything close. You know, great physique. You know, Collins probably is better than a 1-1 as well. Both of them had their moments. So I think both of them could do some very good things. And even though it didn't last as long as you would have wanted till the late in the first round, I think it was a fun matchup between those two.
All right. Well, the next matchup was the feature bout of the evening, and it really delivered. We saw Chris Ocon getting the RNC victory round two over Dre Miley. That was his debut of the evening, of his professional career. And Dre Miley, what a warrior who brought a fight as well.
Yeah, man, props to both of these guys. It was a great fight. Two big, skilled flyweights, and, you know, Ocon remains undefeated for life. You know, he finished out 10-11-0 as an amateur, maybe better. Now he's 1-0, and like I said, he jumped right into the deep end for his pro debut against Dre Miley, who has already had three pro fights, and out of a great camp in KMAA. I mean, that's a tough pro debut that most guys aren't going to step to, but at the same time, he's a tough guy to match as well. You know, people realize he's a stud, and you know, props to Dre for taking on a very highly touted prospect in his hometown. And so both guys showed very well. Ocon gets the finish in the second and a really good scrap.
Vince, talk about this fight.
Yeah, really impressed by Ocon. We've seen Dre Miley, you know, show his success in the past. And, you know, Miley was on the move a lot, but Ocon only had an answer and was still able to touch Dre Miley and figure out his movement. And you're right, he had the home advantage, a home cage advantage, I guess, a home arena advantage to Ocon. But yeah, you know, both of them, I think, are still have some good things in front of them. Miley, still a young guy, but Ocon really was a star there, and great reaction from the crowd.
All right. It's co-main event time, and of course, this matchup was the first round of the Valor Fights Featherweight Championship Tournament, and it was fireworks. We saw Nathan Williams getting the RNC victory round one over the veteran Cromwell Stewart. Tim.
Yeah, man. Again, that was the first time that we've seen Nathan Williams, the kind of the leader at X3 over there. We've seen him cornering several guys up till now, but now he comes out and has a great performance. Cromwell fought well but Williams is just such a big, strapping 145, finishes with that bulldog choke and very impressive fashion, and he's going to move on to the finals and fight for that strap.
Vince, what is your take on Nathan Williams and his chances of becoming the Valor Fights featherweight champion?
I think he's a favorite, honestly. I know we'll talk about the main event from Valor Fights 46 in a moment, but man, the confidence that he showed going into the fight, and then he was everything that he said he was going to be. You know, big physical, had reach. Tall. I mean, all those things that he said. He said, "I'm the best featherweight going," and I thought he backed up all of his talk. And you love to see that guy that can do a promo and be confident and hype up a fight and then back up his words. And I think that's what Nathan Williams did in a respectful manner, just delivering the goods. I think he's going to be tough to beat. And Stewart's a good fighter, obviously, from a great camp. To do that to Stewart and look that good, man, I think he's the favorite going into that that final.
Yeah, and Cromwell Stewart's not just a good fighter. He was a great wrestler as well. And Nathan Williams picked him up and slammed him upside down on his head. And I think that may have gone, been the start of getting that choke. Cromwell seemed dazed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that he'd been turned upside down like that in a fight before, but Nathan Williams looked utterly dominant. I totally agree in that. But moving on to our main event, and that, of course, is the other half of the Valor Fights Featherweight Championship Tournament. And it was Jacob Kilburn getting the KO victory over Edward Massey. Round two, round one started off with, back and forth, a lot of action. But round two, Jacob Kilburn took over, Tim.
Yeah, another really exciting fight to close out the night. Battle of Clarksville teams. And Massey was kind of the known quantity coming in. He's fought for us a lot. And first time for Kilburn, but he was a highly touted prospect. And they came out, the first round was back and forth. Massey was really close on a triangle. In fact, just went all in on it pretty much, burned his legs out most likely. And second round early, got caught and dropped. And that was it. Kilburn with a second round knockout.
All right. Now that does it. One more I wanted to throw in there, another professional Muay Thai matchup, DJ Miller in action versus Avante Moore. We saw him with the round one knockout. And I say knockout, it was the knee to the liver. Pinpoint, man, like a surgeon. I definitely wanted to touch on that fight before we moved on. Tim, what'd you think?
That was, DJ, always a very entertaining fighter. We love having him on when we can in the Nashville area. He came out there and delivered the goods. And, Avante, very game, landed a couple good shots himself, but ended up taking that knee to the body that was just so precise and really beautiful, and wasn't able to answer the count there right at the end of that first round.
All right. Well, that does it for the recap for Valor Fights 46. Our return to Music City, and what a night it was. The Valor Fights banner definitely shining bright after that one, and I can't wait to return. That being said, it is time to move on. I want to give a big thanks to Vince Farrar for joining us for this recap, and I can't wait to be back on the mic with you very, very soon for Valor Fights 47.
Looking forward to it, as always. You guys are the best. Thanks for having me.
All right. That does it for our recap for the news. Let's move on. It is time for the Valor Hour Q&A segment. And, of course, you guys know what that is. Valor Fights President Tim Loy answers your questions. Tim, are you ready?
I hope so, man. We'll see.
All right. Question number one. Now that the dust has settled, how excited are you to see Jacob Kilburn and Nathan Williams fight for the 145 title? Who do you think has the edge in that fight?
Oh, wow. You had to throw in the last part. The first part was easy. I'm excited. Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be, a great all-action fight. Two guys that can wrestle, two guys that can throw, both with some momentum now. So I'm really excited for it. Hard to call a fighter with an edge because they both had such great performances and finishes. But I think Williams has been in there maybe with a little higher level competition at this point. So I maybe call him a slight favorite. But, man, I mean, you can't sleep on Kilburn at all. I mean, just showed one-punch knockout power. He can wrestle too. I mean, it's going to be a good fight.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Question number two. How impressed were you by Nathan Williams' team? And should Valor fans expect to see more fighters from his academy again soon?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, this was the second event where we had X3 out here. And, Nate was the only guy from his team on this one. So, obviously, very impressive. But, and we got to see more of them at Valor 35. And we'd already kind of, been bragging on them. Great group to work with. You definitely will be seeing more of them, a lot more of them.
Absolutely. Hall, Farrell, the whole gang. Question number three. Who impressed you the most in Nashville? And not to throw anyone under the bus, but were you surprised by anyone failing to live up to your expectations as a matchmaker?
That's a good one. I got to say, the most impressive, you know, Nathan Williams was very impressive, had a very good finish against a, you know, very tough Cromwell Stewart. Kilburn also impressive, of course. I got to say, Ocon, you know, he was against a guy in Dre Mile who had already had three pro fights. So he jumped in there deep for his debut and got a good finish. You know, those were kind of the ones right off the top of my head that were the most impressive. I don't think anyone from a fight standpoint disappointed me at all. I think everyone went out there and gave their all. You know, I can say before the fight, you know, Dwayne Harrell, who was supposed to fight Alex Riggs, from a professional standpoint, was very disappointing in that he didn't, you know, begin to get his medicals until the day they were due, the deadline with the state. So, you know, he's about the only one, and I don't mind to throw him under the bus.
Well, around here, we electrocute, you know.
That's
that.
Right. That's right. All There's right. more of that coming.
Yeah. Next question. If that's it for Billy Swanson as an amateur, how would you describe his amateur career in one word, and how excited are you to see him as a professional in 2018?
In one word, oh man, Billy Swanson's amateur career, I'd say successful. You know,
I thought you were going to say sexy.
Oh, sexy. That would have been so much better. That would have been, you know, if I were witty, then that would be good. Yeah, man, that's better. Yeah, I would say successful. So how about successful?
Yeah, there it is.
Anyway, you know, he's, you know, with the exception of the one loss to Denzel Freeman, who's, you know, potentially one of the top prospects in the nation, he's passed every test with flying colors. And, you know, I think that it will be interesting to see him make that leap to pro. You know, I was talking to him afterward and, you know, maybe suggesting taking just some pure striking fights still before making that leap, just to kind of make himself commit to showing off that arsenal that he's learned at Killer Bees with the striking, that he still hasn't really been able to quite pull the trigger like I know he wants to in a fight.
Yeah, that's really, really actually a good idea. You know, always good to groom, you know, burgeoning pros, you know, in all facets of mixed martial arts. So that's an excellent idea. Moving on, did you get a chance to watch UFC 217? If so, what was your biggest takeaway from that card?
Yeah, I did. Finally, it was broken up in pieces after the fact, but yeah, I did, and it was awesome. It was great. It was just one of the most exciting events I've seen, honestly, and would have been definitely one that had we not been running at the same time, that I would have, you know, been definitely tuned in live and would have paid for it even. So, yeah, that was a great card. Lots of upside.
Yeah, final question: when can Valor Fights fans expect more news coming soon?
Soon, within the next week, I'd say we'll start announcing the first quarter for next year. And, you know, I can kind of let the cat out of the bag. January the 6th, we'll be back in Knoxville at the Coliseum for a big show, looking to be potentially in Rome in February. And then we'll see from there. There's some more things starting to take place, but, you know, I'll leave it at that for now.
All right. Well, that does it for another Valor Hour Q&A segment. Remember, listeners, send in your questions. And of course, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will answer them on air. With that being said, it is time to move on to a big lineup of guests tonight. We are joined by UFC light heavyweight superstar, Ovince St. Preux. That's OSP. And he is coming off a huge win last Saturday night at UFC 217 over Corey Anderson. And it was a big showcase head kick knockout. Ovince, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Man, thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on another big finish there. You know, just a huge knockout there in the third round, a thing of beauty. In a fight that was very, very close, maybe going against you slightly going into that third round, you'd started to pick up some steam, kind of started a little bit slow in the first. I heard that was possibly by design. Talk a little bit about the fight. And, you know, you took that fight on 10 days notice. So was it something where, you know, they can always count on you to step up and take those big fights on short notice? I'm sure they love that. For you, you know, you had to make a weight cut pretty quickly. Were you kind of pacing yourself in that regard to make sure you didn't gas with a short notice?
Not necessarily. My cardio felt good. It's just you going against Corey. It's crazy because he has a good his output of is pretty freaking good, and he kind of stayed on me the whole entire time. I thought there was a couple of times when I was able to break. I mean, I did submit some significant damage. And that was towards the end of the first round. I got him. I had him marked pretty good in the beginning of the second round. Same thing going there too. Going into the third round, I felt real, real good. You know, usually I start slowing down in the third round, but this time around I felt extremely well and was able to capitalize on that.
All right. Well, we are also joined by Alan Poole, a guy that you know very, very well. He's been there during some of your training camps, and he's gotten some great photos. And, of course, he gets some great photos at all the Valor Fights events. Alan, do you have any questions for Vince?
Yeah. Hey, Vince, first of all, congratulations on your knockout win. My question really is, what did you do after you got the knockout? Did you do something? Did you say something to Daniel Cormier? Did you run over and look at him? What happened?
No, it's just one of those situations where, you always have those guys who's always Ovin St. Pierre needs to do this, Ovin St. Pierre needs to do that. And just kind of letting them know that I'm here, that I'm not going anywhere. So it's just because I knew the minute it happened, just by the crowd reaction and everything, I knew the minute it happened because more than likely every time you listen to Joe Rogan and Daniel Cormier, when all those guys talk, they usually are talking. They were like, well, this and this, this and this, this and this, and okay. And here comes a surprise or whatnot. And, the surprise was a head kick knockout, but I was just letting know that I'm still here and give them something to talk about, especially – whenever I get another fight coming about, give them something else to talk about too.
That's great. I think that I'm kind of guilty of the same thing. Back if you remember when we were doing that story for the newspaper, the very first question I had for you is, "What are you doing here? Why are you in Knoxville?" Do you remember that? And you've since been shutting me up ever since.
Well, like I said, man, I got some pretty good coaches and. At the end of the day, the way I go about training and stuff, and strength and conditioning coach, definitely a good guy that gets me. To be honest, if it wasn't for Frankie, I probably would never took the fight. Because even though I took the fight on 10 days' notice, I was in a pretty much 3-week hiatus. Got back from Japan, relaxed a little bit. The following week, I had my wisdom tooth pulled out. The following week after that, I'm down in Florida with my girlfriend and. We stayed in Florida for about a week, come back to Knoxville that Wednesday. You find out that you're 10 days out for a fight. I thought about saying no at first, but, all the training I've been doing thus far with Frankie and stuff solidify that, I'll be able to push myself at a very, very good pace, even if the fight goes all the way around.
Well, Vince, you've been a star in the UFC for quite some time now, and you fought some of the toughest opponents that they could throw at you. But most recently, you've been getting a lot of fanfare. Now, not only with this last knockout over Corey Anderson, but also the Von Flew finish over Yushin Okami. I mean, it got all sorts of top billing on top websites and so forth. I want to know when, the title, I mean, you already fought John Jones, but when is the title picture coming into play for you? When are you going to be up there, up in Daniel Cormier's face saying, "Hey man, it's my turn to shine."
Man, that's happening right now. It's just one of the situations. That's why I want to keep myself as active as possible. I got a momentum going. As long as I keep myself active as possible, I'm going to be good. As long as I keep the fans, as long as I keep, the promotion, these type of finishes or whatnot, is going to get me that much closer. Even, Volkan is next in line to fight, Cormier. And I seen Volkan when I was up there, and I was like, look. And he told me, good job. And I was like, appreciate it. And I was like, look, I'm just letting him know I'm right behind you. So at the end of the day, I told him, keep doing a good job. You're making me look good. But just remember, I'm right behind you.
Absolutely. Well, Ovince, real quick, go ahead and give some shout outs where they're due. You've already mentioned KMA and Frankie, but go ahead and give the full lineup. And then also, as always, your social media plugs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so forth.
Man, again, just want to give a big shout out to, you know, Frankie at Frankie Body Shop, my gym, Knoxville Martial Arts Academy. Manu down in Atlanta, always a good guy to work with. Warren, Wayne, all those guys down there, everybody who helps me get ready for a fight, definitely my training partners out here. Also want to give a shout out to Oren Hardock. Definitely gets me the sponsorship manager that definitely gave me good sponsorships. And I think that's about it. Oh, yeah, pretty much everybody who helps me, anywhere from, you know, my chiropractor, Dr. Petty, you know, Mick Larrabee, Trace always helped me with the stretches and stuff. Even the University of Tennessee, always open arms, letting me use the facility, you know, when I need to. So definitely want to give a big shout out to those guys.
All right. OSP is running rampant over the UFC light heavyweight division, and we are so thankful that you stopped in and joined us tonight. Thanks a bunch, Ovince.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We are joined by Lance Abbott, the current Bar Battles Cruiserweight Champion, and he is setting to face Chris Cash this weekend at VFW Fight Night number 2, and that's for the vacant Legacy Nightlife Heavyweight Championship. Lance, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I appreciate you guys.
Well, you're coming off of a big win over Jordan Owenby back at the Cage Fights at the Cowboy event in September, and you took that fight on very short notice after a pretty good little amount of time off. You'd taken about a year off in between fights, and you'd gone on a bit of a losing streak. You'd lost 3 in a row after winning 3 in a row, but now you're coming off a big finish win over a pretty highly touted prospect. You know, got that momentum going your way. First off, where we talk about this fight coming up this weekend, talk a little bit about the last fight with Owenby and, you know, what we can expect coming into this weekend against Chris Cash. You know, these are two guys that were both highly touted wrestlers, you know, so Cash is a highly touted wrestler, but so is Owenby.
Well, I feel like I'm going to do good for both fights, like I did last fight. I think they're looking at me like the old Lance Abbott. I feel like that's what everybody's looking at me. Oh, Lance Abbott is just a brawler, and he just wanted to throw hands and everything. But I've been working and training and everything, working on my takedowns and my ground game and everything. And that's what I'm thinking that Chris Cash and all them are looking at is, oh, well, Lance ain't nothing but a brawler, but I'm ready for the ground or I'm ready for the stand-up. Either one, if that's where they want to take it, I'll be ready. So whatever they want, I'm ready.
Yeah, well, I think go ahead, Casey.
Well, I was going to say, talk a little bit about that. You know, I mean, I can kind of, you know, hear it in your voice a little bit. You know, you're getting ready to face a guy who is really a former teammate. And from what it sounds like, you know, we've seen a huge jump in you since you know, even a year ago. It's like a completely different Lance Abbott. Is it something where maybe when you guys were training together that he may have a false sense of what you're actually like these days? And if so, is that something that you like? Do you like being doubted? Does that help motivate you?
Yes, by far. I want to be the guy that is the underdog. I want everybody to underestimate me, because if you underestimate me, you're hurting yourself. So, I mean, I'm in my opinion, I'm not the one you want to underestimate. But if you do, more power to you, because that's going to help me out in the long run. I want to be the underdog. I want to be the underestimated. So that, I mean, I love that. I thrive off that. You know, I fight to be better for the next fight. I'm not fighting for the person I can beat. I'm fighting for the person I can't beat.
Well, I think that that's certainly a great mindset going into this. And, you know, I've seen it firsthand, as Casey has as well. I mean, kind of the evolution here, you know, the first few fights you came out and you were running through guys, but you're still very much a brawler. You're just kind of out, you know, brooding them, if you will. And then you took a big step up against Casey's guy, Doug Williams. And then again, Trevor Wild, you know, these are, you know, big steps up. And you're losing, but you're losing by decision. You're hanging in there. People started seeing you as like a strong guy, you know, but still, you know, you put you on your back and you grind you. And that's what you do to beat Lance Abbott. Well, this last one, man, you know, Owen B is probably the most decorated wrestler of any of the guys you fought, and he could not hold you down. And, you know, do you credit that to, you know, a difference in training now? Or also, could it be that, you know, those fights, you were a lot of the times trying to cut to 185, kind of with that theory that you'd just be this big hulking 185, but those weight cuts were really, you could see that they really depleted you. So, you know, fighting up heavier, do you think that makes a huge difference for you?
Yeah, I mean, that really helps a lot, not having to worry about cutting. I just go on about my daily schedules and just do my thing, but also it comes along with where I've been training for technique. I ain't been just used to it. I just go in there and, you know, like, well, I'm, you know, just do what I can. Now it's just like I'm doing all my techniques and everything that I worked at and everything that I've been training. It's like coach just says, you know, do it 500 times, and once you get it 500 times, do it 500 more times. And then and that's what really helps me out. It's like I'm doing this for the technique. I'm not going to go in there and think, oh, I'm going to muscle this guy around, because I'm going to save up my strength until the end, until I know that I got him weak, or I know I got him gassed out, or I know I got him hard. That's when I'm going to use my strength. That's when I'm going to start dominating.
Well, Lance, we are also joined by VFW Fight Night 2 promoter Brandon Watts, and he is very, very excited to have this matchup. Brandon, any questions to Lance on this big grudge match title fight?
Well, you know, whenever I was, whenever you and I was talking about it, Casey, you know, the one thing that I seen from Lance at the last fight, you know, to me, it was like his coming out party. You know, he looked so different, and man, he, you know, Lance, you went in and you did your thing, and I'm super stoked on this fight. You know, I'm very pleased to have you on the card.
I'm glad to be on the card. Honestly, I enjoy fighting for Valor and everything. I enjoy everything that you guys are about.
Now let me ask you this one more thing. Again, you know, we mentioned it's a grudge match. Is there, can you give us any insight, you know, because, you know, I'd kind of heard that originally there had been talk about maybe you and Jay Page fighting. Of course, Jay is, you know, up there in years a little bit like myself. And then, you know, it turned around that it was going to be Chris Cash. Is, you know, you formerly trained with Bushido MMA. Is there an axe to grind there, or is it just something that you have to prove to yourself? Where does everything lie? Because I know that the fans certainly want to know, and it doesn't have to be a respectful or disrespectful kind of thing. It just can be what is what it is. But you know, it's a very interesting element of this fight.
It's more of a have to prove to myself. It's like when I was with Bushido, when I wasn't with Bushido, I went 3-0, and then I went with Bushido, and I felt like they held me back and hurt me more than they helped me. And I went 3-3, and then now I'm not with Bushido, and I'm 4-3, and so it's something to prove to myself that if I never went with Bushido, where would I been? Would I have been better off without him, or would I have been better off with him? So it's more of a let's do this and let's see, let's end things once and for all.
All right, fair enough. Real quickly, go ahead.
One quick question: how do you feel that you match up against Cash?
I feel very confident about this matchup. Cash is more known for the ground game. If you watch any of his fights, it's every one of his fights is basically went to the ground. I'm more known for the stand-up. So now I feel like I'm more well-rounded, and let's say if he wants to take me to the ground, we will go on his game if that's what he wants. But either way, I feel very confident about this.
All right. Well, real quick, Lance, go ahead and give some shout-outs where they're due. Of course, your team, your family, everybody that has helped you along the way, as well as we need your social media plugs. We need all the places that we can find you on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so forth.
I want to give a shout-out to Coach G for sticking with me and having my back through everything. I want to give a shout-out to John Hall and Snap for them opening up their gyms and coming to my gym and just helping me. I want to give a shout out to Alonzo Butler for helping me with my more with my stand up. I'd like to give a shout out to Ben Rowland for helping me with cage control. And I'd like to give a shout out to my beautiful fiance for always having my back. And you can find me at MMA Abbott on Facebook and Team Abbott on Facebook also.
All right. Current Bar Battles Cruiserweight champ Lance Abbott is back in action this Saturday night. And this time it's for the vacant Legacy Nightlife heavyweight title. Get your tickets now. You don't want to miss this fight. Lance, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
We are joined by Chris Cash, who heads into the main event of this weekend's VFW Fight Night 2. And he will be vying for the Legacy Nightlife heavyweight title against former teammate Lance Abbott. Chris, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, it's a pleasure, guys. Glad to be here.
So you're a first timer here on the Valor Hour. Welcome on. And, you know, for first off, I guess let's just set the table for our listeners that, you know, it's been a while since you've competed. And I don't think we were doing the podcast last time, even when you competed. So just kind of set the table first off. Give us a little bit of your background and what's kind of led you to now. You're 3-0. Just kind of give us a quick backstory before we get into this fight this weekend.
Well, you know, I fought for, you know, Valor my first three fights. I started wrestling my junior year of high school and come out of high school, graduated, you know, got a little chunky after high school like everybody else does. And my buddy, he's like, oh, dude, you need to come try, you know, some jiu-jitsu or kickboxing or something with me. And I was like, all right, well, I'll give it a try. Then he introduced me to my trainer, who's been my trainer for years now, Jason Brake and Jay Page. And ever since then, it's just been one step after another. And you know, after my last fight, I blew my knee out, tore my ACL, and, you know, for months now, I've been trying to get back in the cage, and now it's finally happening. I'm more excited than ever, and I feel great. I'm just excited to be back in the cage.
All right, well, it's going to be a big fight. I mean, you're headlining, and we've got gold on the line, and this is somewhat of a grudge match, and, you know, I sort of wanted to kind of get into it and find out, you know, what the deal is here. You know, I guess Lance used to train there at Bushido before, and he no longer trains there. And there was, I guess, some talk between him and Jay Page, or maybe a challenge was out there. You know, of course, Jay, you know, a little up there in age like myself. But you step up to the plate. Talk about it a little bit. Talk about your previous relationship with Lance, your training back then, and what's going on here now in this title fight.
I mean, I don't know what the whole deal is with Lance has got against Bushido. All I know is that, yeah, me and him used to be training partners. I used to help him out whenever he was getting ready to fight Doug Williams and Trevor Wilde and Khalil Boyd before he left Bushido. And I thought me and him were, you know, pretty good buddies. You know, I never did him wrong or say anything wrong to him, to, like, tick him off or anything. And then we were trying to find me a fight, and then Jay said that Lance said that he wanted somebody from Bushido, and that somebody was going to be me. And I said, okay, I'll take the fight, you know, no harm, no foul, I guess.
Well, you know, right. He hasn't so much said any disparaging remarks about you. I will say we had him on just a little while ago. The way he explained it was essentially he had gone off to a 3-0 start on his own before he came to Bushido. And then he went on an 0-3 skid while at Bushido. And then he's at Temple Boxing and got a win in his last one. So I feel like he kind of sees you as like this, I don't know what the word is, but just like kind of the litmus test as the, you know, you're representing Bushido now, you know, that's kind of to him, it's a test to see, like, you know, was Bushido holding him back? Was that the reason he was losing his fights? If he goes out there and beats one of their top guys, that's just my speculation.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling I've got also, is because it was right after Jay fought Jeremiah Harper at the beginning of the year. He called Jay out as soon as he heard it on Facebook, I guess. And I guess, you know, like you said, Jay's getting up there and, you know, the years, bless his heart, love him to death. But, you know, Jay's done fighting and he just wants to, you know, make us, you know, great fighters as himself. And that's how I see it too, is just Lance wants to prove himself that he thinks Bushido held him back, which I don't know if that's the truth or not. You know, it's his opinion. Bushido's been nothing but great to me, and it's got me off to a 3-0 start. So it's just, I don't know.
So we are also joined by the promoter of VFW Fight Night, Brandon Watts. And Brandon, have you got any questions for one half of your headline here?
Yeah, you know, now obviously you all being training partners and that sort of thing, I've got a 2-part question. A, what do you feel like may be a weakness for him? And B, there's got to be that one story, you know, that you know that happened in training or something like that that you could share with us.
Well, the answer to your first part is, I wouldn't say he's not weak standing up at all. He's a heavy hitter. I never hold pads for that guy and be like, Lord help me. But I think his weaker point, which as shown his last fight, has gotten tremendously better, is his ground game. You know, he used to have some holes in his ground game, and that's usually where people would take him during, you know, those title fights against Trevor Wilde, Khalil Boyd, and Doug Williams, and that's where they, you know, they take him there to the deep waters, and, you know, he'd try his best to get out of it. And don't get me wrong, Lance is a true warrior. He's not one to give up. He don't tap out, ever. I've never seen that guy once tap out. And, you know, and I don't remember any time in the gym where me and him really, you know, caused any kind of grudge between us. I mean, yeah, there's been a couple, you know, hard sparring matches, but other than that, I mean, I always thought me and him were, you know, cool and, you know, friends and all that. Cause it's like last time he fought the Electric Cowboy, I went up and congratulated him. He's like, you know, good job, brother. You know, proud of you. And that was the last time I talked to him.
After you saying him, you know, you holding the mitts and knowing how hard he hits, do you feel like you'll want to stand and bang with him?
I can't give out that information. It's G14 classified, but I'm definitely more comfortable with my hands now than I used to be. But you know, like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a game plan until they get hit in the mouth. So. We'll see where that goes.
Have to buy a ticket to find out.
Yeah,
buy a ticket to find out. I got them on hand.
And I'll say this, man, this is one of the hottest tickets that we've seen around here in a long time. And really just for that main and co-main event is really, you know, standing out, because in this headline, you've got two former teammates for the title. And then of course, you know, that Buttry is taking on Bailey Cooper in that rematch. And so that's really big. So to me, this is one that should, you know, it's the finale of the MMA Road Warrior Tour. And so it's one you definitely want to get a hold of. Now we also have, Alan Poole here with us, photographer extraordinaire, and he had a, I think, Alan, you got a question for Chris as well, right?
Yeah, hey Chris, hey, what's up, man? Hey, so for the listeners to know, Chris's mother is a fellow photographer, and I've worked with her many, many times. So, Chris, are you aware of your mother's threats to me, as to, you know, like making sure that I get good pictures of you and that, you know, that I don't miss anything? Are you aware of any of these threats?
No, but I can only imagine what my mother has said to you, Alan.
Okay. She's already given me the mom look. Like, she told me so long ago about this fight that I thought, like, I keep wondering, like when it was going to be. Like she's been telling me about it for so long and like, keeps reminding me. Like, I feel like it's, like, an event that's been coming for, like, the past year.
Yeah, it's like I'm 21 years old, you know, and my older brother's 26 years old, and we still get that mom look, and we all know it's like scatter, run, grab some cover. It's Something's coming.
All right, so you got to work with me on these pictures, all right?
I got you. I'll try my best.
Appreciate it.
All right. Chris,
you know,
real quick.
You know, mentioning,
go ahead.
Mentioning your mom, you know, I went and met her and gave her some posters and that sort of thing. Man, she's fired up over this. It's crazy. Oh, I love it, man.
You know, I love my mom to death. I'm a mama's boy at heart, like every boy is. I wouldn't be able to do half the stuff I've been able to do with MMA and wrestling if it wasn't for my mom and dad. Because days I don't feel like, you know, going to the gym, I'm beat up, I'm sick. They're like, listen here, boy, you need to get off your lazy rear end and go put some hours in that gym or you're going to get your butt kicked. And, you know, that little bit of extra push has made me the young man I am. And it's been a real, you know, honor for them to be my parents and always be there for me, even the roughest times. It's like after my ACL surgery, you know, had to move out of my apartment, you know, just broke up my ex-fiance, and all I had there was, you know, family. And mom, dad said, you know, come live with us. As long as you're training and staying healthy, fight ready, you don't have to worry about a thing. And that's really meant a lot to me. And it's really pushed me to be a better fighter than when I was before my last fight.
Right on. Well, of course, that's already a little bit of shout outs. Let's go ahead and let you give all of your shout outs where they are due. Of course, teammates, training partners, sponsors, and so forth. Also, we need your social media plugs, your Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter handles.
First off, I want to give a big shout to my man upstairs, you know, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The wonderful people at Bushido MMA, you know, great training partners, great place to bring kids, family, you know, all my training partners who have either let me beat on them or beat on me through this hard 8 weeks of fight camp. The lovable people at the Churchill Diner, you know, always feeding me right during fight camp, Miss Julia and Mr. Paul, love y'all to death. The Drip Co., one of my big sponsors, love them so much, right out of Kingsport, Tennessee, for all your vaping needs. Who else? Brett Rogers, you're the man. Evan, thanks for taking me shooting on my 21st birthday. Much appreciated. You're the man. Cash Money Entertainment, thanks, Mom and Dad. Cough, cough. Tammy Cash Photography, if y'all need pictures, please hit her up. She takes awesome pictures. I'm trying to think of who else. Main Street Barbershop in Churchill for keeping my line straight. Because this beard of mine, it don't fix itself. if y'all want to follow me on Instagram, it's the_infidel_Bushido MMA. And on Facebook, it is Christopher the Infidel Cash.
All right. Chris Cash returns to action this Saturday night at VFW Fight Night 2 as he vies for the Legacy Nightlife heavyweight title. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys. Let me give a shout out to you guys too for putting this on. You guys are awesome. You guys have done so much for the MMA community around here, and we all love y'all for it.
We are joined by Rodrigo Gonzalez, amateur mixed martial arts fighter and Muay Thai competitor, and he will be in action this Saturday night at VFW Fight Night number 2 as he competes in the official VFW Fight Night 4-man Muay Thai tournament. Rodrigo, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We're excited, man. It's been a while since we've seen you in action. You'll be returning to action this weekend, and as part of a four-man tournament for some title recognition there, Muay Thai action. It's a tough bracket. Whoever wins is going to have to win two times in one night against a pretty good field. You'll be taking on Chris Bond in that first round. Talk a little bit about you know, what you've been doing since last time we've seen you, and a little bit about this first-round matchup.
Oh, man. It's been a while since I've been in the actual cage. Since the last time you saw me, I've really been focusing a lot on my ground game, but then again, I've been focusing a lot on my striking as well. I've been doing quite a bit of cross training here lately. I've just been trying to stay active, you know, whether I'm in the cage or not, you know, preparing for the fight, man. I've been doing a little cross training over there at Casey's and still at Bushido. And I do a lot of I watch a lot of film, and I get a lot from film. So I do that a lot, but, you know, mostly training hard, getting a new mindset on things.
Well, Rodrigo, your first round, you're paired against Chris Bond, a guy who has spent a lot of time this summer in the Bar Battles MMA Road Warrior Tour for the different events that have been involved. But we haven't seen you yet in this organization. Very excited to see you there. But give us a little bit insight what you think about Chris Bond. I'm sure you've watched some tape. And what do you think your keys to victory are?
Yeah, I've actually watched his fights. I've watched his previous fights, his kickboxing fights on YouTube and everywhere else. I think he's a game opponent. He seems long and lanky. My key to victory with him would probably be, you know, real. I'd have to get in the pocket with him and just kind of stay in there and kind of wear him out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, if you make it, you passed in the first round there, it's going to be the winner of Stephen Tanner and Joseph Long, two tough, tough competitors that we've seen before as well. Your insight on those two guys and who you picked to win between them?
I can't really pick any one of those two. I mean, either one's going to be a good fight, whether I move on or not. It's going to be a good fight between the both of them. That I've watched Joseph all his fights, and from what I've seen, he's real long and rangy, and he uses that very well as well. I haven't really watched much on was it Tanner? I haven't watched much on him, but either way, man, it just seems like the winner of that fight's gonna be a good one. You know what I mean? That fight itself is gonna be a good fight. The winner of both fights is going to be, you know, it's definitely going to be exciting to watch the winner of both go at it, you know.
Undoubtedly.
This will be the first time that you've potentially fought two times in one night, right?
Yes, it has. Yes, it is.
Well, we are also joined by VFW Fight Night number 2 promoter, Brandon Watts. He is here with us. He's very excited about this tournament. Brandon, any questions for Rodrigo?
You know, Rodrigo, I spoke to you, I guess, maybe yesterday. You know, the one thing that I asked you was how you was feeling. You said you was ready to get violent. You know, where's your mind at right now? What, you know, as we're creeping on in a couple of days?
Man, you know, it's been over a year since I've been in there, and I've wanted to get back in there, and be honest, man, I'm hungry. You know, I'm hungry for a W.
All right. Well, real quick, Rodrigo, here is your opportunity now to give some shout outs where they're due. Of course, friends, family, teammates, and all sponsors that have helped you along the way to get you where you're at. Also, all your social media plugs, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so forth.
All right. I want to give a shout out to my sponsors, Cash Money Entertainment, Farm Bureau Insurance out of Johnson City. For all your insurance needs, hit up Tony Marshall on Facebook. Big shout out to my team, my family, Bushido MMA, as well as Team Oxendine in Johnson City. Give a big shout out to Creighton Chevelle and Noah McFadden, some of my big sparring partners here preparing for this fight. Everyone else that is going to come out and show some support on this Veterans Day, you know. It's going to be a great show, man. I encourage everybody to come out, buy a ticket, come out, show support. It's a holiday weekend, man, you know. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. It doesn't get any better than VFW Fight Night on Veterans Day. It's an amazing show. We have been joined by Rodrigo Gonzalez, who prepares to head into VFW Fight Night number 2 in amateur Muay Thai tournament action. And we can't wait to see you there, man. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, that does it for another great lineup of interviews, which means it is main event time here on the Valor Hour. It's the official VFW Fight Night 2 event preview. And for that, we have a tremendous panel with us tonight. Among them are Chandler Cole, Sawyer Rich, Alan Poole, and Dustin Long. Chandler, how you doing?
Doing good. How y'all doing tonight?
Good, good. You got a big win back at Valor 45, and you continue rolling right on through that. Of course, there's been talk about you and Ben Roland throwing down later on in 2018. What is new?
Nothing much, man. Just a lot of talk back and forth. I can't wait to get in there and knock him off his walker.
Sawyer Rich, what's new, man?
I'm being the coolest motherfucker ever, man. What's up?
Not much, and we missed you back there at Valor Fights 46. I hope you're coming up for VFW Fight Night 2. Are you?
Saturday, actually, probably will, yeah.
All right.
He's good. Full of shit. He won't come.
Alan Poole, what's up?
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
Are you ready to make some big picks?
Hell yeah. I'm ready to dominate the selections.
Yeah.
And this week we have a fourth, which is going to kind of throw things off a little bit. So, because we could have a tie here on some of these fights. Dustin, all day long. Dustin, you're preparing for a big event. Strikefest goes down December 16th right here in the Tri-Cities. What's going on?
Just trying to get ready for that. Get this shoulder right. How y'all doing?
Good. Now, I've heard that I mentioned Ben Roland with Chandler Cole. I'm going to bring his name up again. I saw an announcement online on his Facebook page. Is this true?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be fighting again December 16th.
Nice. And that's going to be under Muay Thai
rules. I'm kind of excited for that. Yeah, yeah.
Being all right. Muay Thai
fight, I don't think I'll do MMA probably till next year sometime. So.
Nice. Well, it's going to be a slugfest. We're looking forward to that. Well, let's move on to these fights and get everything started. Of course, VFW Fight Night 2, it kicks off Saturday at 6 p.m. Of course, that's November 11th, right there at the Patton Crosswhite VFW Post. Historic venue, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. The first one was amazing. But the first fight brought to us by the Tattoo Den, and it is Bantamweight Muay Thai Action, and it features Quinlan Dennison, 0-1, out of Temple Underground Boxing in Morristown, Tennessee, taking on Austin Lewis, 0-1 independent out of Mountain City, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this matchup.
You know, we're kicking it off with the little guys with some Muay Thai here. It's hard to say what'll happen. You know, we've seen both of them. Quinlan Dennison training with Temple Underground Boxing in Morristown there with Lance Abbott and those guys. He lost as a junior. I want to say he was 16, 17 years old. He fought Nick Ferguson and lost the decision. But he was a pretty tough, scrappy kid. Now he's 18 and taking on Austin Lewis, the brother of Hunter Lewis from the Mountain City crew. He is 0-1 in kickboxing, 0-2 in MMA. Hasn't had a whole lot of luck just yet. But in his one MMA fight, he fought Cody Gwynn on short notice and lost that one. So one of these guys is going to get their first win. We'll see what happens.
All right, well, let's move on to the panel. Chandler Cole, who have you got in this one?
You know, I'm going to go with Hunter Lewis. You know, like I said, someone has to come out with their first win, and I'm excited to watch this fight, but I'm going to go with Hunter.
Are you sure that – how in the world is that going to happen when it's actually his brother Austin that's fighting?
Yeah, man.
Austin.
Hunter's
going to climb the cage and win.
You get mixed up with these fighters. But, Austin. I pick Austin to win.
Yeah, pull some of that classic WWE stuff with, like, the Killer Bees used to do where they put the masks on and they switch places. All right. Very cool. And so you pick Austin Lewis then.
I do pick Austin Lewis.
Okay. All right. Sawyer Rich, who you got?
It's super hard to call. I mean, both of the guys want their win. I mean, it's huge when you're chasing that first win. So, I mean, I guess I'm just going to go ahead and go with Austin Lewis. I don't know, just have a gut feeling. I usually have pretty good intuition. I think he's going to get it done.
All right. There you have it. Alan Poole, your pick on this one.
Yeah, I'm going with the how do you say his first?
Quinlan.
Quinlan. Yeah, because I don't know how to say his name. And he's out of Temple, so I always see good stuff out of there. But, you know, most importantly, I can't say his first name.
Quinlan Dennis.
Yeah.
All right. One more to go. Dustin Long, who you got?
I'm going with the boy from Mountain City. Fourth time for Sean, man. We'll see you there,
Wow, Austin.
Dustin goes with Austin Lewis.
Yeah, Austin Lewis takes it 3-1. So I'm excited for this first matchup. It's going to be great. Moving on to bout number two, and that is presented by the Patton Crosswhite VFW, Muay Thai action in the middleweight division. It's Austin Kurtz, 0-1 independent out of Mountain City, Tennessee, taking on Brian Duperrey, the debut independent out of Mountain City as well. A bit of a grudge match, Tim.
Yeah, the numbers there don't really show you how much we've seen them. These guys have fought MMA for several times. Both guys independent out of Mountain City. They don't like each other. Austin Kurtz, last time we saw him at the Cowboy, he fought Dylan O'Sullivan and was in really tough there. Dylan O'Sullivan ended up getting him out of there in the first. But before that, he's fought some tough competition, you know, and Billy Combs and some other really tough guys. So he's been in there really, really deep already. And Brian Duperrey, he's been in there pretty deep as well. You know, he fought Aaron Phillips. He's fought, he's fought Julius Bowling maybe too. And he's a really tall guy. He'll have the size advantage over Kurtz. But DePerry's the kind of guy that's gotten kind of shell-shocked in there at times. You know, he's a tall, long guy, but he doesn't always fight like it. So we'll see, man. Kurtz is definitely going to be the aggressor, I think.
All right. Well,
hey, is that the supermodel?
What's that?
Is that the supermodel that Drew fought?
No, that was another guy. This is the one that Aaron Phillips fought him, I want to say, at the fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let's get some picks really quick. Chandler, who you got?
I'm going to go with Duperrey. Is that his name? Duperrey?
Duperrey.
Brian Duperrey, yeah.
Duperrey? Yeah, he has a real cool name, but I watched that other guy fight Dylan O'Sullivan, and Lord knows if he still has head problems from that fight. So I'm going to go with Duperrey. I love Duperrey. I like his name.
All right. Let's mix it up. Alan Poole, who you got?
You know, I'm going to go opposite here, man. Even though I do like that name, I'm not going to pronounce that one
it's
for
no
you.
It's no Levasseur.
You're going to go Austin Kurtz?
Levasseur. That'll be coming later. So Austin, I'm going with Austin Kurtz.
Austin Kurtz isn't a bad name either. Moving on, Dustin Long, who you pick?
Fourth time's a charm again, I guess. Duperrey. I'm going for Duperrey. I know both of them. He fought two guys from my gym, and that Austin guy came and trained, but I say it's pretty much an even fight, but I'm say Duperrey will win.
All right. You got it. And finally, Sawyer Rich, who you got?
I am going to go with Duperrey based on probably reach, size advantage, especially in Thai. I watched the O'Sullivan fight with Austin Kurtz, and he wasn't aggressive. He didn't go for it. I don't know if he gave him his head or whatever, but I think Duperrey's going to get it.
All right, fair enough. Brian Duperrey takes it 3-1 here with the panel. And it's going to be another great matchup there in Muay Thai competition. Bout number three, presented by Legacy Nightlife. It is a catchweight at 150 pounds Muay Thai action. The juniors, if you will. And it is Zach Hammock, 1-0 out of Shield Systems in Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on Logan Hilton, debut out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this matchup.
Yeah, man, we're excited as always. These teenagers they put on a good show. Zach Hammock debuted at the Harley-Davidson event in Maryville at the Shed, and he beat a guy from National. I can't remember the fight very well because I was up and running crazy, but I know that him being a Shield Systems guy, he'll come very well prepared. And you know, from what I can recall, he was a pretty good action fighter. I just don't really remember the fight that well. And then Logan, of course, is with you. You could probably set us up a little better with him than I could.
Well, Logan, just a tough youngster. You're seeing a lot more of these kids coming up out of the woodworks early on, 13, 12, 13, 14 years old, and really creating a new generation of competitors. And, it's really surprising to see them. I've worked with Preston Schick was another one that I started. He started when he was like 13, 14 years old, and he started, he's evolved up there. And to see him as grown adults, it's kind of strange for me. It's kind of sad because it means I'm getting to be an old man. But it is really when you see those kids, they put in that many years of training and they're doing what we were doing when we were in our mid-20s and older, when we were starting out. It's just very, very impressive. So regardless of this, a lot of this is just getting them some experience and getting them in there to fights. But, just the fact that these kids are both, under 18 and out there doing this, it's just utterly impressive. And I'm thankful to be a part of it. Now, that being said, let's move on to the panel here and get some picks. I'm going to kick it off with Dustin Long.
I'm going with Hilton. That's my little cousin.
Yeah.
I got to go with him. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Next up, Sawyer Rich.
Dude, every time we pick, every single time, I always say I love watching the juniors. I think they go after it, more than anybody. They're always exciting. I always make a point to sit and watch them. I always stop whatever I'm doing, and they're so exciting fun to watch. And these two fighters, these two kids, are from two great teams, and probably two of the most well-respected teams. And I don't know, man. Tough to call. I'm going to go on our limb and say Hammock is going to get it.
All right. One apiece here. Moving on, Chandler Colt.
Well, before I give my answer, I just want to say I think it's funny that you said that, you've coached these kids since they were young, and now they're adults, and it's weird. You remember me telling you that I used to see you when I was in middle school and thought you had a cool beard. So I just want to throw that out there that you was in MMA when I was in middle school. But with that being said, I'm going to go with Logan. I never vote against T-Mock, so I'm going to go with Logan on this one.
All right. That is two for Logan and one for Zach Hammock. And we move on. Alan Poole, your pick.
Yeah, I would just say to Chandler, I do appreciate him burning Casey on his age. And I think that you should do that as much as possible.
Aren't you a little older than I am, actually?
Ah, shut up, man.
Aren't you a couple months old?
yeah, but I wear my hat backwards and it fools people.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. Well, anyway, man, you're going to have to put earmuffs on this one, Casey, my pick, because I'm not as familiar with your guy.
Okay.
And, I do remember Zach Hammock at the shed, and I got some really great pictures from it. I remember him being just, ferocious. But I know that, gosh, your guy's coming out of your camp, and I know your guys, I'm just not familiar with them, so I got to make a pick, so I'm going to go with Hammock. And I asked Ben Harrison today if he was if he thought he would win, and Ben Harrison told me that he would win, so.
Okay. Well, fair enough. And that actually splits it right down the middle. It makes it fair, two on each side. So, I think this is undoubtedly, this might be a sleeper, in fact, because these are two young men. Once they get into the cage, I have a feeling that you're not going to have any idea that they're under the age of 18.
Real quick, can anyone recall a juniors match that was boring, though, for real? Like, the kids never go out there and hold anything back.
Dude, it's the most badass fight of the night.
Oh, there you go. This is going to be a badass fight. Make no mistake. This is going to be a good fight.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I'm very, very excited for it. Now, moving on. Bout number four, presented by the Valor Hour. Now, this is advanced Muay Thai. That means no headgear. And that is the first bout in the Muay Thai Championship semifinal. And it features Chris Bond, 4-1. Out the independent out of Morristown, Tennessee, taking on Rodrigo the Monster Gonzalez, 0-1 out of Bushido MMA in Kingsport, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this matchup.
This is a fun one. This is a good opening round bout. These guys have been scheduled to fight each other before, maybe in MMA. And, Bond 4-1 in kickboxing, very impressive kickboxing record. His MMA record, he just now got to 500. I think he's 5-5. But, you know, with the times when Bond loses, it's usually because he's against wrestlers that will get him down and either grind him out or submit him. And so he's a long, you know, he's like 6'1". He's a long, lanky guy. He's starting to learn to fight like it, I think. And so it'll be interesting to see how he does against Rodrigo Gonzalez from Bushido, who also has, man, don't quote me, I want to say he's like 6-5 or 7-5 in MMA, so he's got a lot of MMA. But his only kickboxing bout was to Preston Chick back in December in Happy Valley. Was that December before last, actually?
It was December before last. It was a war. Yeah.
So it was a great fight, probably the best fight of the night, and, you know, against a very tough guy in Preston Chick. But it's been a while since Rodrigo has been in the cage at all. And so, you know, Bond has been building some momentum with wins at the past few bar battles events. And so, you know, I think if both guys were active more, then Rodrigo would be a pretty, you know, pretty good favorite on paper. I think people would think with him being inactive and Bond getting some heat behind him, I mean, I think it's an interesting fight.
All right, well, let's see what the panel has to say about it. Let's start off with Sawyer Rich.
Yeah, it's a great fight. It is an interesting fight because, you know, it's a stand-up. It's not MMA. And I think, you know, it's different. Gonzalez, I think he's a great MMA. He fights well, and he's going up against a tall, long, lanky dude. And I'm gonna have to give the edge to Bond. I just think that he might have the reach advantage, and you know, he's learning to fight as tall as he is. I'm gonna give him the advantage.
All right, Sawyer Rich picks Chris Bond. Moving on, let's see what Alan Poole has to say here.
Yeah, man, I've had the pleasure of meeting Chris Bond a few times, and the first time I met him, he had gotten a nail through his hand earlier in the day, and after working a full day's shift in construction, just put tape on his hand and then showed up for the fight, won the fight. So I've never forgotten that. This is the crazy type of man stuff that he does. And I'm going with Chris Bond on this one.
All right. That's two for Chris Bond. Let's find out what Chandler Cole has to say.
You know, I'm going to go opposite and go Rodrigo just because, you know, I've trained with him and I know how good he is. And if he comes out and fights like he can, then he can compete with anybody. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Rodrigo.
All right. And finally, Dustin Long. Is it going to be Rodrigo or Chris Bond?
I don't know. I know both of them. I like both of them. I think if they if Chris lets them, or if Rodrigo lets Chris down the outside, he'll probably beat him by points. But if he turns into a dogfight, I'd say Rodrigo. But I'd probably have to say it's a close fight. I don't know. It's a real close fight. I'd probably have to say Chris. I think he trains with more stand-up guys. You know, if it was MMA, it'd probably be a little bit different. But Muay Thai, I'd probably say Chris.
All right. Chris Bond takes it 3-1 by the panel's pick. So going to be a great fight, a good first round. But moving on to bout number 5 presented by the Tattoo Den, it's the other half of that championship semifinal. And, of course, it's advanced Muay Thai. Joseph Cosby Long, 4-1 out of American Killer Bees in Cleveland, Tennessee, taking on Steven Tanner, 1-1 out of Bullman's Kickboxing in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's go. Let's take it to Alan Poole first. Who you got?
You want me to set it up?
Oh, of course.
Well, this is, of course, is the other half of the tournament here. So the winner will face the winner of our aforementioned fight. Joseph Cosby Long, as you mentioned, out of American Killer Bees in Cleveland with David Robbins. In my opinion, probably the favorite in this tournament, has been active in MMA as well, and just a very hot young prospect. He's very long and just good, and he's going to be big at 155. Steven Tanner, on the other hand, from Bullman's Kickboxing in Knoxville, had a very close fight with your guy Randall Austin last time at Cage Fights at the Cowboy, and before that had won in Newport at I believe it was Valor 42. He is you know, very tough kid, and these are probably your two most pedigreed actual kickboxers in the actual tournament taking on each other, whereas you got the more pedigreed MMA guys fighting each other on the other side.
Tim, any idea where the name Cosby comes from?
I if you look at his shirts, they have a picture of like a martini glass with a potential Ruthenol being dropped in it. I'm not exactly sure why that. I guess he puts him to sleep like Cosby.
Oh, okay.
That's what's on his shirt. Yeah, it's like a like a roofie going down in a cocktail glass.
Oh wow. Okay.
That's not controversial at all.
Alan, pick it. Who you got?
I can't believe, dude, why would he have that as, he's the most like quiet, mild mannered, shy guy. I say he looks like the guy that would deliver your milk in the '50s, but you know, hey, you know, if he gives people roofies to put him to sleep, whatever, you know? Okay. This is actually a really, really tough one for me to call on this one because, I have some secret information and, regarding Stephen Tanner, cause he's been training with Cub Swanson for weeks now, every day, and I've picked against Stephen Tanner twice in a row. I gotta pick Stephen Tanner, even if I think Long might win this one. I'm going with Tanner.
All right. Next up, let's go with Chandler Cole. Who you got?
Not only is Joseph Long gonna win this fight, but he's gonna win the whole tournament. Let's go make. I'm gonna make that clear. He is a killer. He's a killer human, not even a bee. But, no, I go down there and train with him. And, you know, I really don't know why they call him Cosby. I should know that answer. But he is a tough cat. He trains with Sid Wheeler all the time, David Robbins, just all those guys down there. And he's a dangerous cat. So, especially just standing up, yeah, he's a dangerous guy. So, you know, Stephen Tanner may be training with Coach Swanson, but he's probably just his punching bag. I say Joseph Long is going to beat the brakes off of him.
All right. That's one apiece so far. Dustin Long, who you got?
I haven't really seen either one of them fight, but I'm going with Long. He's training every day. First off, because his last name. But,
his last name's Long.
If he's training every day with Sid and David and them guys down there, ain't no doubt in my mind he'll probably run through this guy.
All right, Joseph Long is up 2-1 right now. Sawyer Rich, who you got, man?
I mean, it is going to be a very, very rare occasion for me to ever pick against Joseph Long. Every time I see him fight, he gets better. His stand-up is great. He goes for it. He's very aggressive. He never throws he never throws just like one punch. It's always two or three punches and a kick. It's just always great, and he looks better every time he fights. So I think he's going to get the finish probably early.
All right. Joseph Long takes it 3-1. Of course, Long also, of the three, the only one that's had Muay Thai tournament experience. He's done competitions. I guess he did the Worlds, Tim. Is that right?
He did. He did the Worlds, and I think he went down there and went 2-1 and lost to the eventual winner.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, it's going to be a great matchup and a great tournament. And, of course, the winner of each is going to be at the end of the night, just before our co-main event. We're going to see that match materialize. Our next bout, presented by Patton Crosswhite VFW, it's mixed martial arts action in the lightweight division. And it features Chris Courtner, 0-2, independent out of Mountain City, Tennessee, taking on Hunter Lewis, 0-5, independent out of Mountain City, Tennessee. Tim, frame it up for us.
Well, you know, we kick our MMA action off with, you know, two guys where somebody's O must go. You know, Courtner, 0-2 out of Mountain City. He is the brother of Austin Kurtz, who we talked about earlier. But he's had two tough battles in his first two fights. You know, he took on Pollard? Did he fight Pollard?
Yeah, Courtner fought Pollard. And then he got a win at VFW1, right?
No, Courtner hasn't gotten a win yet. He lost to him, and he lost to Lynn's guy, Tanner.
Yeah, but he did. That was the VFW.
It was, yes. He was on the last VFW event. So, you know, he's 0-2, looking for his first win, always comes out game against Hunter Lewis, who's 0-5 from Mountain City, also an independent. So you've got the brothers, Courtner and Kurtz, both fighting against Mountain City stable mates, if you will, and Hunter Lewis and Brian Duperre. Like I said, Hunter Lewis 0-5 versus 0-2. These guys, I wanted to see one of these guys get a win out here.
Yeah, and undoubtedly, and I will say this, the last time that Hunter Lewis was in an oh-must-go matchup, it turned into an absolute war. And
those
kind of fights, these kind of matchups where there's no win on the record and you know that somebody's vying for that win, it makes the stakes really, really high. You know, these guys are not walking in here to just crumble. So I'm excited about it. Let's take it to our panel. First up, Chandler Cole, who you got?
I feel like it was destined for me to pick Hunter. this makes twice that I've picked him. So, Hunter Lewis, I'm going with you, buddy.
Okay. Chandler Cole picks Hunter Lewis. Alan Poole, who's your pick?
I'm just going to go with Hunter Lewis. Yeah.
Hunter Lewis, that's two for Hunter Lewis. Sawyer Rich, who you got in this matchup?
I mean, Jesus Christ, I just dropped my phone, but if these fights are fun, man, because these guys, they both want to win. I mean, really bad. They're both going to go for it. It's going to be an aggressive fight, I'm sure, exciting. I hate to pick, he's the third one to pick Hunter Lewis, but I mean, I've got to go with him. I'm going to pick him.
All right, that does it. 3-0, all in favor of Hunter Lewis. Next bout, bout number 7, presented by Legacy Nightlife. It is a catch weight at 150 pounds. Of course, mixed martial arts action. It's Billy Gray, 0-1, independent out of North Carolina, taking on Dustin Pollard, 1-0, out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this matchup.
You know, last time we saw Dustin Pollard, it was at the 50-50 event and beating the aforementioned Chris Courtner. That was his debut. Always comes with a rowdy bunch of fans and, a compact guy. I believe he told us he's a blue belt in BJJ, taking on Billy Gray, who'll be the first time we've seen him. He is an independent out of Staley, North Carolina. He debuted earlier in the year on a Fight Lab event. And lost to a guy that was, I think the guy was already like 4-0. He was uphill pretty bad for his debut. Looks to be a pretty tall, rangy guy that looks to be in shape. So, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to get out of him, but, it should be an interesting fight. I think he'll have some length and reach on Pollard, who will probably have the better skill set.
Undoubtedly. And I will say that, Dustin Pollard, always a tough guy, comes to fight. And, is a guy that's usually a little stronger than you expect. You know, is a guy that, when he gets a hold of you, he's got good grip strength. So I'm excited to see him back in action. Let's get some picks here. Starting out with Sawyer Rich, who you got?
I mean, it's super hard to ever pick against the Oxendine, especially this kid coming in, 1-0. He's got a win, he's got confidence, a lot of support. I'm sure he's had a good camp. There's no way I can pick against Oxendine, so I've got to go with Pollard.
All right. Chandler Cole, who you got?
Hey, just like Sawyer Rich, yeah, I can't pick against Oxendine, so I'm going to go with Pollard on this one. Like I said, I learned my lesson.
Alan Poole, who you got?
Yeah, I've seen Dustin Pollard in action. He's ferocious. He's one of the few people that makes me legitimately nervous when he's going into the cage, because I know he just has really bad intentions when he gets in there. And he's actually a lot of fun to watch. He's exciting. And I'm going with him.
All right. All three panelists pick Dustin Pollard in this matchup. This one's going to be great. Bout number 8, presented by the Tattoo Den. And it is mixed martial arts action in the featherweight division. Trevor Loken, debut out of Boondocks MMA in Boone, North Carolina, taking on Randall Austin, 1-0 out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, set this up.
I'm excited for this one because we've been seeing Randall Austin coming up, one of the hottest young prospects on the scene, hasn't lost yet in MMA or Muay Thai. Definitely taking another step up here. You know, he took a good step up in his last Thai fight against Steven Tanner. Now in his next MMA fight, he takes a step up against Trevor Loken, who, although it is his debut, from what I can gather, has some wrestling experience. I'm not exactly sure what his accolades are, but it looks like he has a fairly extensive, at least, high school wrestling background, where he's, been a state qualifier, et cetera. So at least a pretty serious wrestler, but it's his debut fight. So, who knows what'll happen when he comes out of the cage. Also, the first time we've ever had a guy from Boondocks MMA on an event. So I'm excited to see what they're about.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And, you know, we did a little bit of research on Trevor Loken, and he is a guy that it did have some high school experience, but also some AAU post-high school tournament experience. So this guy's, you know, he's set up and he's trained hard. And so we know that Boondocks is a tough camp, and so we're ready for a war. So I think it's going to be great. Let's get some picks here from the panel, starting with Alan Poole.
Yeah, man, I'm actually a big fan of Austin. So Randall Austin, man, him and his brother are both badasses. When they come to fight, they bang. You know, I mean, they're not going in to do any sissy stuff. They're going in with bad intentions, just like pretty much everyone that comes out of Team Oxendine, which is something I really appreciate, Casey. But yeah, I gotta go with your guy on this one. I think that he's gonna roll through him.
All right, next up, let's give it to Sawyer Rich. Who you got?
Yeah, this fight seems to be, super cool fight. I've got, obviously, you got Dave, you got a lot of wrestling background, a good solid base. But he's fighting Randall Austin out of your camp. Super aggressive, super strong. I've seen him fight a few times. And what I've noticed more than anything that no one seems to mention is he listens super well. You'll tell him something, he'll do it right then. And, like, that's a big deal. And it's just, it's always, he never does anything stupid, never, you know what I mean? And he's always straightforward and gets to the point. So, got to go with him.
All right. And Chandler Cole.
Hey, I got to go with Randall Austin on this one. Kid is mean. And take everything that Alan Poole said and make it a little bit cooler. And that's my reasoning why. So, I'm going to go with Randall Austin.
All right, there you have it. All three panelists choose Randall Austin. Moving on to bout number 9, presented by the Valor Hour. Heavyweight mixed martial arts action. Contested at 265 pounds. It's Eli Gawthorpe, 1-0 out of Shield Systems, Knoxville, Tennessee. And taking on Dale Dodds, the debut out of Bushido MMA in Kingsport, Tennessee. Tim, set this one up, man.
Yeah, this is our heavyweight action. You love the heavyweights, and I think this one should be pretty good. It's Gawthorpe out of Shield Systems, so you know he's going to be tough. He's a transplant. I think he's from Idaho, maybe, or somewhere out west originally. And so he comes in 1-0. He has a fight out there a couple years ago. I want to say he may have had some time at the WWE Performance Center. And so he's a guy that was supposed to fight a couple of times. He's supposed to fight on the last VFW card, and we had to make some last minute switches. And then before that, he was supposed to fight in Maryville, and his guy flaked on him. And so it's been a long time coming to finally get him in the cage. And it looks like we finally got to make that happen. Dale Dodds, I'm not familiar with. He looks like a pretty jacked up dude. It's his first fight. Casey, you've been handling that end of things a little bit more. Maybe you can give us a little more extra background there.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about Dale Dodds and some of the guys that have been, Rodrigo's been coming over to the gym and training a little bit, and he cross trains both places. And he says Dale Dodds just a big old monstrous beast. And he said he's a tough, tough individual. And, I don't know a whole lot of details about him, but everybody that I talk to, says he's something to behold. So I think that when you put, these two together, I think it's going to, in the fact that it's a heavyweight matchup, it's going to be spectacular. That being said,
I met Dale Dodds a couple weeks ago, and he is a monster. He's a huge man. And I think he had told me that he had had four or five fights that he's been set up for that has not happened. So he said he's eager.
All right. Well, let's take it to the panel and see who they got, starting with Chandler Cole.
Yeah, I know Dale personally. It's like if you took a G.I. Joe and moved him to Nebraska and grew him up in a cornfield. That's a good description of him. Yeah, I see him winning. I don't really know the other guy, but it would be hard for me to pick against Dale. So I'm going to go with Dale on this one.
All right. Alan Poole, who's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going the exact opposite as Cole on this one because I've seen a little bit of Eli, and he is huge as well. Like, he's a big old dude, but I don't know anything about the other dude. So, and I trust Shields camp, so I'm going with Eli.
All right, and Sawyer Rich, tiebreaker.
Yeah, these are heavyweights, man. They're always cool to watch. I mean, no matter who you're for, you're just like, damn it, I wish you would catch one of those big, you know, shots, you know, just so you can see some cool-ass knockouts. And, I mean, it's so hard to pick against Shield Systems, man. The preparation, the instruction, the fight IQ that, you know, I mean, they're not going to put anybody in there that's going to fuck around. I mean, he's going to go for it, for sure. And, I mean, it's going to be definitely fun to watch, but I'm going to have to go with Gawthorpe.
All right. Eli Gawthorpe takes it 2-1, and it's going to be massive heavyweight action. This is one I'm really, really looking forward to. And now it's time for our co-main event, bout number 11, presented by the Tattoo Den, and it is for the Legacy Not Life Middleweight Championship. It's Chris Buttrey, 3-1 out of Local Legends Temple Boxing in Rogersville, Tennessee, and he takes on Bailey Cooper, 2-0 out of No Mercy Goon Squad in Union, South Carolina. Tim, talk about this big rematch.
I'm excited for this one. You know, Buttrey took the last one on about 2 hours' notice and, you know, went in there and arguably won the first couple of rounds, started to fade, though, late, and ended up getting submitted. It's a fight I know that he was excited to run back with a full camp. And, you know, Bailey Cooper started to emerge early with some a little bit of potential star power, winning 2 in a row, you know, trying to make it 3 in a row in his first title. So I think this one's going to be heated. I think we're going to have a war.
All right. Well, let's get on to the panel. First up, it's Chandler Cole. Who you got in this one?
I'm going to go with Chris Buttrey. The reason why is because last time, like Tim said, he took it on 2 hours' notice. Dude hadn't even trained since he fought Christian the fight before and went out there and gave, you know, Bailey Cooper a fight. You know, now that he's had a full fight camp, I think that he'll go in there and give him that work. And I don't know. It's just something with that Bailey Cooper guy that personally I don't like. I don't know. How do you beat a guy that's 3-0, and then with all due respect, I hope Billy don't get mad at me, but you call out Billy Combs, like, what? Why would you do that, you know? So, I don't know. I hope Chris gives him the work.
All right. Chandler Cole picks Chris Buttrey in this rematch. Alan Poole, who you got?
Yeah, I remember the first fight well, and I remember Chris whooping his ass until he wasn't. And then the fight completely changed directions, and Bailey Cooper won the fight. I think that Chris will be better prepared this time, but at the same time, Bailey Cooper looks better every single time he comes out, right? He looks better, and he's so tall, and he's learning how to use his range. But having said that, I think Chris Buttrey, in his athleticism, gets him inside, and he knocks out Bailey Cooper.
All right, 2 for Chris Buttrey so far. Sawyer, who's your pick?
Yeah, it's a cool fight. I obviously want to see this one again. Judge the first fight, and I mean, so much respect for Chris Buttrey. He did his game. He wanted to come out and fight on 2 hours' notice, and he beat the shit out of him for 2 rounds, man. I remember the third round came out, and I started, you know, I could just tell he was fading. I was like, come on, Chris. Come on, dude, you know? Because he did so well, and he took that loss so hard, dude. He took it hard, man. And I was like, dude, you know, but I'm going to have to go with Chris Buttrey. He was doing so well. I mean, I had him ahead for sure. And it's just one of those things where it just didn't go his way. So for sure, there's a good fight, obviously, but I've got to go with Chris.
Well, I will say this. All three pick Chris Buttrey, but I'll tell you, No Mercy in the Goon Squad, they are religious listeners of the Valor Hour, so they're going to hear this, and so they're going to take exception to it, I'm sure. They're going to have words to say about it when, you know, leading up to the fight, so that's only going to fuel the flame, I'm sure. Now, moving on to our main event, and of course, that is presented by Legacy Nightlife, and it is for the Legacy Not Life Heavyweight Championship. Lance Abbott, 4-3 out of Temple Underground Boxing in Morristown, Tennessee, taking on the Infidel, Chris Cash, 3-0 out of Bushido MMA in Kingsport, Tennessee. The grudge match, Tim.
Yes, this one is highly anticipated. You know, we got Lance Abbott, Temple Underground Boxing, coming off a win in his last fight over Jordan Ownby, a fight that he was probably the underdog in, and showed off a much improved takedown defense And he's just so strong. We already knew he was so strong, and just seemed like a new version of himself, taking on Chris Cash, who we haven't seen in some while. He's been out with knee injuries, but he's undefeated out of Bushido, where Lance Abbott and him used to train together. And, you know, Cash is kind of defending the Bushido name here. Abbott lost three fights under Bushido, had won three on his own before. So in his mind, he feels like they may have been holding him back. And Cash represents that kind of that avatar, if you will, as he needs to beat him to prove that, I guess. So it's going to be interesting, you know, because Cash is also a wrestler. But, you know, he just handled Owen B, who has equal, if not better, wrestling credentials than Cash. Cash never lost, though, you know, and and Cash is a true heavyweight, whereas Abbott has been down as low as 85. So, man, it's really hard to call. I think both guys have massive advantages in different places. It'll be a question, I think, of whether or not Cash can, you know, get it to the ground or not. And then keep him there, essentially, and possibly grind out a decision or get a submission before Abbott's able to knock him out in the process.
All right. Well, let's take it to the panel here. First off, let's give it to Sawyer Rich.
Awesome fight, you know, super exciting. Probably not going to last. It's probably not going to go the whole time. But I think Abbott might be a little quicker than it, but I think that Cash is going to be, like Tim just said, a true heavyweight. He's probably going to have the strength advantage. So he's probably going to get the takedown, and I'm going to have to call Cash is going to get the finish. So I'm going to pick him.
You got it for Chris Cash then.
Yep.
You know, something that I think is interesting, just a side note, is that, you know, of course, we saw Jordan Owenby, the fight, Lance Abbott's fight with Jordan Owenby. And, you know, being, you know, on paper, the superior wrestler, Owenby was able to get Lance Abbott down, but Lance Abbott popped right back up. Now, Chris Cash is known for wrestling a little differently. He, you know, where Owenby is out in the center doing, you know, typical scholastic style wrestling, takedowns, double legs, single legs, and so forth. We've seen Chris Cash utilize the cage a lot more, putting the pressure up against the wall and using that to get the guys up. And once they're down, he kind of presses them there into the cage so they can't get out. So that's something to note as well. That being said, let's move on and let's see what Chandler Cole has to say here.
You know, looking at Lance, you'd ask yourself, you'd be like, how do you pick against this guy? Well, because in MMA, all that muscle don't mean shit. So, I would say, yeah. So, you know, I've seen him, a couple years ago, saw him last fight. Dude looked like he'd been going out and killing deer and eating them in holes. I mean, dude has put on some massive muscle, which in this sport, I mean, I don't really... is really not the way to go about things. So I'm excited to see, you know, last him stopping Jordan's takedowns, you know, not stopping them, but jumping right back up, kind of gassed Jordan out. I'm really eager to see how Chris Cash, you know, has done with his cardio. You know, he's been out with the leg injury, so I'm excited to see this fight, but hopefully I see Chris Cash winning, so, you know, that's my pick.
All right, and finally, Alan Poole, who have you got?
Yeah, even if I wasn't under the threat of Chris Cash's mother to you know, be picking Chris Cash, I still think that Chris Cash is a very smart fighter, and you can see him, he has the ability to think inside the cage, and, you know, he's got strength, great grappling, man, and I think he gets it done.
All right, all three pick Chris Cash in this big heavyweight title fight. And that does it for the official preview of VFW Fight Night 2. Now, remember, get your tickets now and get to the arena this Saturday, November 11th. Doors open at 5. Fights begin at 6 p.m., and you don't want to miss it. Like I said, this is the finale, the grand finale of the MMA Road Warrior Tour in bar battles. So we look forward to seeing everyone there. And thank you guys, thank you panelists for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
That does it for a big VFW Fight number 2 event preview, as well as another episode of the Valor Hour. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. Hey, we appreciate those likes, but we need those shares. For myself and Valor Fights promoter Tim Loy. Thank you for joining us, and see you next week on the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer, Quick Fix, on Radio Influence.
One of the smartest men in the history of the business of professional wrestling and one of the greatest storytellers in the history of professional wrestling. Welcome, Jim Cornette, to Sitting Ringside. As far as the scaffold matches went, I know that you guys prided yourself on having really entertaining matches, and scaffold matches isn't exactly the greatest work rate type of match.
No, they suck.
What were your thought about that? Did that frustrate you, or you just that was what they wanted you to do, so you did it?
Well, no, because when you're in the main event of the Sam Houston Coliseum and there's 12,000 people there, it's sold out and the fire marshal has closed the door, you're like, okay, I'll put up with having a subpar match this particular fine evening. The boys didn't enjoy taking the bumps, Bobby and Dennis. The scaffold was not nearly as high then as the Starcade scaffold would be later on. But it was a profitable match, and still the people got into it. It drew those crowds because they wanted to see it. Even if it wasn't a bunch of backdrops and high spots, there was drama there, and the boys could work that and milk it. You know, and with Ricky and Robert, it was easy because they were young and athletic too, and I won't say easy to do a scaffold match, but, you know, it was preferable than anybody else. So, you know, all in all, we gave people what they wanted to see in that particular instance, which was, it didn't have to be the greatest match as long as they saw us get the shit kicked out of it.
Well, I could see like Robert hanging off, like you guys are trying to push him off the scaffold. Mm-hmm. He's hanging off by one foot, and the girls are probably crying. So, you know,
my God, yes. And I mean, anytime you would even start to go over the edge, people would start screaming, but Hoot and Bobby are underneath it, monkey barring across and kicking each other, while Dennis has got up the top, ramming his bloody head into the rails around the end of the scaffold and everything. It could still be exciting, but you had to. Once again, it wasn't exciting from a sports entertainment standpoint. Yeah. Where we're going to rate this thing. It was exciting from the standpoint of that's exactly what the fans came to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And back then, you know, they bought in, and unlike now, that would never work now. But but back then they bought in and they believed every.
No, and now if the guy took the bump off a scaffold and his head didn't fall off and roll into the third row, people would go, you fucked up.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.